palm lesson comes from Matthew 21. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and the ones that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. This is the word of the Lord. Rise for the Passion reading. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry this cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. And if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. So also the chief priests and the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now, if he so desires him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the other said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tomb after his resurrection, they went into the city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who also was a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him, and Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. The next day, that is, the day after preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, sir, we remember how that impostor said while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order the tomb to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people. He is risen from the dead, and the last fraud will be worse than the first. So Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can. So they went and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Continue with him of the day.
Thank you.
grace to you in peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Gospel of John that we've been reading for the last few Sundays in Lent is full of I am statements. I am the resurrection and the life, he said to Mary and Martha. I am the light of the world, said to the man born blind. I am he, the Messiah, said to the Samaritan woman at the well. And this Messiah is the one who comes to give the living water, who comes to call all to worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Son of Man, who must be lifted up, he told Nicodemus, that slightly dense teacher of Israel. Jesus will ask the question, who do people say that I am? But he will not let anyone else define him. And in Matthew, it's that very question, who do people say that I am, that leads to one of the greatest confrontations. The disciples would offer up various prophets, but Peter would say, you're the Christ, the Messiah. But Peter's definition of the Messiah would be roughly in line with the crowds celebrating Jesus into Jerusalem. The whole city was stirred up saying, who is this? And the crowds answered, this is the prophet, Jesus, from Nazareth in Galilee. There was a euphemism for these folks. They were called the people of the land. In the exile to Babylon, what were carried off were the upper crust, the royal family, the aristocrats, the priestly families, basically Jerusalem. Babylon didn't take dirt farmers from Galilee. So from the time all of those upper crusty Hebrews returned from exile 70 years later, there was always friction between the people of the land who felt they were being unjustly bossed around and that renewed priesthood and temple. Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And finally, he's here to restore the reign to the real people of Israel. They are singing the hosannas, but they missed Jesus' self-definition of this king. Behold, see, understand, your king comes to you humbly. The Jerusalem establishment doesn't think much of this plan or this prophet. Caiaphas has already decided that if they don't get rid of Jesus, the Romans will take away both our place and our nation. And when Jesus comes into the temple and gets in the way of their revenue stream, well, they were indignant. The effect of, do you hear what the Pharisees are saying, is simply, who the hell do you think you are, Jesus? You and this rabble have no place here, other than giving us your temple tax and paying us to do your sacrifices. I mean, come on. The Messiah can't come from Nazareth. Nothing good comes from Nazareth. Go back to the land. Leave the country to the adults. But Jesus can't do that now. Once, as a little child, he would submit to Mary and go back to the land, but not today. Today, his business is in his Father's house. Today, even if it comes from infants and nursing babies, if the rocks have to cry out, the Father will be worshipped in spirit and truth. There's a third group, the Romans. And the only reason the Romans care about Palestine is food. Rome needed the grain from Egypt. And the entire region of the Middle East was unstable. Shocker, I know. Rome could have cared less about sons of God and messiahs and even kings, as long as the taxes were paid and the grain got to the ships. Don't imperil the material prosperity over such trifling matters. Truth. What is truth? Pilate would ask. Truth is peace at the end of the sword. Truth is grain flowing and people getting paid. In Matthew, Jesus won't even answer Pilate. It's Matthew that has Pilate washing his hands of the crucifixion. The Romans prided themselves on their law. It was their gift to the world. And Pilate would betray every bit of it in the face of that crowd to keep the grain flowing. What we look for in messiahs, I don't think is very different. We don't look for a kingdom not of this world. We want it here. We want our tribe to win. We want our guy on the throne. We want the seats to the right and to the left. We want a seat at the table. And the man who can deliver that, Hosanna to the prophet from Galilee. We want one of our own kind, not some deplorables. We want the right people. We want someone respectable who knows the rules and how it's played. As Jesus once asked the crowds about the Baptist, did you come to see someone in soft clothes? Yes, with a nice crease in their pant leg would be great. Most of all, we want the good times to roll. We want to have the problem of our barns bursting and having to build bigger ones. As long as our 401ks keep growing, we don't really care about the machinery that is built that chews up certain people. We want to be known as caring, as long as it doesn't actually cost us anything. Any Messiah who comes and promises that with confidence will go far. But this king comes humbly. This king carries a cross. This king wears a crown of thorns. Jesus won't let us have any of those worldly messiahs. He won't let us have a messiah for this world only because he wants so much more. Today, this messiah has wine mixed with the bitter gall so that we can have the good wine of the kingdom. Today, this Messiah will not come off the cross to save himself and a few others. He endures the cross for the joy that was set before him, the full number that will come in, everyone who would believe that he is the resurrection and the life, the saints of all times and all places. Today, he will feel the exile from God, why have you forsaken me, so that we might draw near to the Father. Today, he ripped that curtain that veiled God, such that the Holy Spirit might take residence in us sinners. Today, he will be placed in the tomb. But Easter is coming. Jesus won't let us have any of those worldly messiahs. If we want to go after those kingdoms, we can. If we want to turn around and no longer follow, many do. But where shall we go? None of those false messiahs have the words of eternal life. They will all fail. There's always a stronger tribe. The techno-utopia of the smart set always ends with Icarus's melted wings. And if we build our barns bigger, we're all warned that tonight our soul will be required. And what idiot will inherit all that we've done? Instead, Jesus bids us to pick up our cross and follow him. If we lose our life for his sake, we'll find it. If we long for a better country, one whose foundations are of God's, he's prepared a place for us. If we seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added. That cross shook the foundations of the world. Rocks were split and tombs opened because now we have true hope. The false messiahs of this world have been exposed for the tyrants that they are. And in Christ, who defined what the Messiah, what the King means, you have been made free. You've been made free in Christ for eternity. Amen.